Brett, sometimes I dream of becoming an actor. Have you ever dreamt of becoming an actor? Maureen, what is it you think I do for a living? Never mind, sounds like you need the New York Film Academy. NYFA offers workshops, BFA and MFA degrees and summer camps in filmmaking, acting, journalism and more, online and on campuses across the globe. To make films alongside industry professionals, explore more at nyfa.edu. Thanks, Brett. Thank you, Maureen.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Maureen, your Canva presentation looks brilliant. Thanks, Brett. That's because I used AI-powered Canva presentations. I just described what I wanted, and Canva presentations generated the perfect slides. You can even make a talking presentation for people to watch on their own time. Check this out. Recording. 101 Reasons Why Beaches is the Saddest Film Ever Made by your neighbour Maureen. Is it easy to use? If you can use a computer, you can nail your next work presentation with Canva Presentations at canva.com, designed for work. Oh, thanks, my neighbour Maureen. Yeah, thank you.
Look out, it's only films to be buried with.
In the words of Peter Venkman in Ghostbusters 2, Happy New Year! Hello and welcome to Films to be Buried With. My name is Brett Goldstein. I'm a comedian, an actor, a writer, a director, a menu, and I love films. As the great Paulo Coelho once said, none of us knows what might happen, even the next minute, yet still we go forward. Because we trust. Because we have faith. We have faith that Nish and Brett will manage to pull off their Films of 2023 episode before August this coming year. Yeah, good luck with that, Paulo Coelho. Every week I invite a special guest over, I tell them they've died, then I get them to discuss their life through the films that meant the most to them. Previous guests include Barry Jenkins, Sharon Stone, Jamila Jamil, and even Fleb Flambos. But this week, it is the brilliant writer, actor, comedian, director, producer, podcaster, it's Chelsea Peretti. Head over to the Patreon at patreon.com/Brett Goldstein, where you'll get an extra 15, 20 minutes of chat with Chelsea. You get her telling a secret. You get to hear her favourite beginnings and endings of film. You get the whole episode uncut and ad-free and as a video. All that and more at patreon.com/Brett Goldstein. So, Chelsea Peretti is a comedy legend. You know her from Brooklyn Nine-Nine and a million other TV shows. You know her as an amazing stand-up. You can see her special, One of the Greats. You know her from seeing her live, and you know her from her podcast called Chelsea Peretti, which is back. Now, you can listen to it. Listen to it. It's hilarious. She's just made her first film as a writer, director, and star called First Time Female Director, which hopefully we will all get to see this year. I met Chelsea at a gig. I saw her do stand-up, which she hadn't done for a while. It was incredible. She's so funny. If you get a chance to see her, you must go see her. She's brilliant. We recorded this on Zoom a few weeks ago, and I really think you're going to like this one. So that is it for now. I very much hope you enjoy episode 280 of Films to be Buried With. Hello and welcome to Films to be Buried With. It is me, Brett Goldstein, and I am joined today by an actor, a writer, a producer, a podcaster, a director, a comedian, a big mouther, a Brooklyn Nine-Niner, a crank yanker, a hero, a legend, a superstar, and a human being in her own right. Please, will you welcome to the show? I can't believe she's here. Can you? Well, she is. It's only Chelsea Peretti.
Woo-hoo. Yeah. Thank you. What an intro. My God.
Hi, Chelsea.
You can see the stand-up background.
Lovely to see you. Thanks for doing this. For those of you who can't see, there is a dog in this particular episode. It's a very nice dog. It's a new dog.
Yeah, he's from the streets. No, we can't.
We're not talking about the dog.
Yeah, we can. I just don't usually, you know, share his name, but he's a dog from the streets. He's very barky and growly, so I'm just trying to keep him under control.
Okay. Now, Chelsea, you've done lots of things. You are beloved. I had a gig with you at Largo, and you hadn't done stand-up in a long time. And you were like, oh, I don't know. I don't know. And then you went on and were so insanely amazing and so funny. And then you came off and were that was shit.
Whoa. That's amazing. That's so nice of you. And I think this is why I don't do a lot of stand-up anymore. It's like, I realize like, I just don't feel good about it most of the time. I feel good about it like 1 out of 10 times.
Really? Like, as in, can you see? I mean, I totally get it, by the way. But as in, objectively, those 10 times you do it, in the 9 times where you don't enjoy it, are you thinking it's going badly? Or is it going well and you're still not enjoying it?
I mean, I think once you get to a certain experience level, you're not going to be like fully bombing, but it's not going to be exhilarating. Like, you know, the feeling when you feel like you have the audience in the palm of your hand. And for me, I just feel like, where we can go off on tangents and we're laughing together and stuff. That's the funnest time for stand-up. But so much of the time I feel like a substitute teacher, you know, and I'm like trying to prove to the class that I'm a teacher or something. And it's just like, it stresses me out. Also, I'm moody and I feel like moodiness doesn't go that well with stand-up. Like, you know, you got to put on the mask and dance. And sometimes I just feel like we're all morose, certainly, right? Like the times, and they're like, no, we want to just be laughing and you're ruining our night out, you know? So,
I mean, I have to disagree because I think people love it. But if you don't enjoy it, that's interesting because you're very, very good.
Yeah, because I think like the people that I see that get up every night, it's like they feel great after. And if I felt great after, I could see where, I mean, listen, I have an addictive personality. Like if I felt amazing after doing stand-up, I would want to do it all the time too. So I don't know.
Yeah. So is that why you've not been doing it much? Because you just don't enjoy it?
Well, it started off like Brooklyn Nine-Nine, my call times were like 6:30 in the morning. And I had, I think before that, had done my hour special, my only one that I've done. And I was like kind of on a roll with stand-up at the time. And then being on Brooklyn, I had 6:30 call times pretty much every day for 23 episodes, you know, a year for 5 years. It felt like it kind of took the wind out of my sails for stand-up in a certain momentum way. Although if I had been touring then, it would have been really smart and great, but I didn't do that. Probably because I had a small child and I was exhausted. But yeah, I don't know. Don't whine, dog. I just call him dog. Don't do it.
You said you wouldn't say his name.
I know. His name is Dog and now it's out. Don't do it. Please, you can't. Come here. It's a nightmare. I really don't actually know what to do because if I put him in a back room, I think he would just bark the whole time.
Yeah, I can't hear him. So.
Oh, great. Yeah. All right.
Don't worry.
So maybe just shut up. All right, I will. But anyway, so yeah, then I kind of fell off and then it's like you kind of feel behind because the peers that you came up with have progressed and you're like, oh, they've done 10 specials and I've done one. And now it's like literally, I feel like everyone is doing stadiums. Like every comedian, they're like, you know, he does stadiums now. I'm like, what? Like when I was coming up, it was like 2 people that could play venues of a massive size like that. I don't know, but I still do, like, I did have fun doing the tour that I did leading up to my hour special. Mm-hmm. And that is a bit of a different feeling because it is like your people and I don't know, maybe I feel like maybe I'll do it again when my son is a little older.
I think the world needs you and it's important.
God, this is the best podcast I've ever done.
Now, tell me this though. In other news, you've only made a bloody film.
I know.
That you wrote and directed and you're in it?
I did. Yeah. Actually, in preparing for your podcast, aside from like putting on tons of perfume.
We can tell. We can tell and we appreciate it. You smell amazing.
Thank you. I was literally driving from my workout to get ready for this podcast, looking at your list of questions and thinking, I'm really not a movie snob. Like, you know, and my movie went to Tribeca, which I'm very thankful for, but it really was like a wake up call for me. Like, I think I don't know what is up with me, but like, I was like, oh yeah, like Tribeca or like festivals, like people are movie snobs. Like But people like are so obsessive about films in a way that I really actually am not. I have my own way of obsessing about films, but it's usually about a line that stuck with me, a character that stuck with me. I think I'm more about parts and pieces, whereas I think a lot of people are about shots and are about plots, shots and plots.
Shots and plots. I have a podcast.
Yeah, your Yiddish podcast, shots and plots. But I'm about like moments, lines, characters. And so I think that helped me also understand like my movie's not going to be for everyone, but then for people like me, it will hopefully be for them.
Yeah.
This is great promo for my movie. It's not good. No, I'm just kidding.
If you like shots and or plots, it's not for you.
Not for you. No, I like simple stories. And like even being in a writer's room, like the pressure for stories to be super complex and, you know, I myself actually enjoy very simple stories.
What is your film, and what was it like for being a first time director, dealing with crew and actors and everything? Was it a nightmare? Was it a pleasure?
You know what? I honestly really did love it. Which, you know, like how I'm very upfront, like stand up a lot of times, I don't love it, but I really, really loved it. It's like summer camp or something compared, especially to television, in which, you know, especially a network show that's 23 episodes. I mean, that is like a major, major grind.
Yeah.
And as you know, I guess, how many episodes of Ted Lasso is it?
No, it was only 10 to 12.
Oh, that's perfect. Yeah. Because then you can pursue your other projects.
You can still do stand-up, yeah.
By the way, I got a part in a Marvel movie.
Hey, congrats.
Marvel. It's a competitor to Marvel. That's one of my new jokes. Anyway.
So stupid. This is why we need you.
This is why you don't. That's exactly why you don't. Wait. Oh, so yeah. So I loved it. I mean, I really did. It's funny. Like I went into making a movie like, finally, everyone will listen to me. And then you realize, no, there's all these experts and department heads and people who have vastly more experience than me. And they have artistic opinions, and they're good to listen to, and they're helpful to have. So
making it better.
And now he starts barking.
I mean, listen, I want you to be comfortable, but I can't.
Can you hear him barking?
No, I don't know if it's like picking up.
It's like I'm going mad.
Yeah, what's funny about it is if I don't know what's being recorded, but from what I can hear, if people are listening to this, they're going, Jess is an insane person who has an imaginary dog that makes noises.
You're like, did you know she doesn't even have a dog?
There was no dog. People are looking at scouring the video. I don't think there was a dog.
Scrubbing through. Look there, when she carries him off, quote unquote, there's nothing in her hands.
She also just kept calling him dog. Dog. The name was dog. There was never a dog.
Yeah, he's actually absolutely going mental. So where were we? We were talking about...
You were saying about department heads. You thought everyone's going to listen to
you.
And actually...
Yeah, but then, you know, I do love collaborating. Like I've been in, you know, writers' rooms, a lot of writers' rooms, and I really do love the process of brainstorming with other people that are creative and smart, and you wind up at like something you wouldn't have wound up at on your own. So I do love all that. And I loved the people that worked on the movie, and they were all very like, everyone added something special.
Right.
And it's just cool that it's 1 month of like insanity. Like I love the pre-production is like all this strategy, which now in hindsight I would do even more so. Yeah, but so much strategy and planning. And then there's this explosion of extroverted, intense, like, I mean, directing is insane. It literally is just, everyone's just like, we're running out of time. We're running out of time at every second. but the camaraderie and the socialness and also just laughing so much was so fun. Yeah. And then the editing is probably the hardest part for me because it's so painstaking and I'm obsessive, like poring over things. And I still feel like I probably missed a bunch of stuff in the footage, but marking every little moment that I like. And then, you know, trying to fix a lot of things because there was a lot of things we didn't get. And, you know, but making magic sometimes out of this and that is also, you know, it's a special alchemy.
It is. It is. Yeah. Do you have, because I do believe that thing of like, you make the film three times, you make it in pre-production, you make it in the shoot, you make it in the edit. The final film that you have, how far away, for good or bad, do you think it is from like how you had it in your head at the beginning? Like when you look at the final, you're like, this is nothing like how I thought it would be, or this is very close, or...
Well, you know, I think that one thing that I really wish I had was a storyboard. I know I've talked to people who have differing feelings about it. You know, like some comedy people don't like it because they feel it makes it really rigid and stuff. But being that I was in the scenes and directing, like I had a very naive idea that I was going to be watching playback all the time. I was not able to do that.
So how did you do it?
I mean, literally, I was just fucking flying blind. Like, I really was I learned a lot.
Was that good?
Yeah, half the time. And like, then in editing, I'd be like, oh my God, I didn't know this actor was doing this thing every time. Sometimes it was an amazing thing. And sometimes like, oh, someone walked in front of the person saying their line on every take. And I didn't know. So it was crazy. And I definitely learned a lot. What I think is true to the original vision is the casting, which I really wanted comedy people like through and through. And I think there's so many funny moments. I have my favorite scene that I think has a lot of comedic drama, which is like kind of a tone that I really like. And I like how it looks. Yeah. So there's a lot from the original energy that I think came through. And I think a lot of the tone came through that I wanted to. And then there's a lot I learned for what I would like to do for the next one.
Do you have a next one?
Not on the books, no. Okay. I mean, I certainly have not written one. I was like, oh, the writer's strike, great. And then I didn't write anything. So I have a number of ideas and one that I like, but I haven't like outlined or scripted it.
So when you, I've always wondered this, when you're acting, but you're directing, are you in the scene, like you're doing your acting, but you're opposite an actor, are you like with your eyes, like, willing them do that like within the scene?
I'm sure there was some moments like that. Yeah, it's weird. But I mean, no, I think overall I was able to try to conserve that to between takes. But I don't know. I saw this play in New York, but it was an English cast. It's called like The Play Gone Wrong or something like that. It was like Gone Wrong. Have you seen it? Yeah. It was pretty funny.
I know what it is.
There was lots of moments like that where like, there was one where this actor's like stuck in a doggy door. He's dressed up as a dog, but he can't get through it. And so the other actor is saying to him like, come here or something like that. And he's like looking at him like, I clearly can't. Anyway, we brought my kid to it, and honestly, we were laughing way more than he was. I think just because performance nightmares feel really familiar for us.
I've got many more things to ask you, but there's something I forgot to tell you, and I should have said to you up front.
You have cancer. It's not that.
It's sort of more.
Oh, thank God.
Well, on the other hand, you're dead. You've died.
Oh my God! What? How?
Well, that's the question.
I died in my workout.
How did you die?
Lifting.
That's the question. Lifting.
Yeah. Lifting too much. Poundage.
What? And your arms fell off and you bled out?
Bled out into the gym.
Fuck.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty cool.
It all just came back to me. It's pretty fucked up.
Did everyone scream?
But it's cool that like even in the afterlife, I'm just fucking doing podcasts, you know?
It's the dream of millions.
There is something to look forward to.
Yeah. What's it like on the other side? Some bit of admin and some podcasts and you have to do your homework.
Yeah, a lot of podcasts. Ghost casts.
Do you worry about death, Chelsea Peretti?
Oh my gosh, all the time, don't you?
Talk to me. Well, yes, I do. That's why I do this podcast. Let's talk about it.
I mean, you seem like you worry about death. Yeah, you seem like you worry about death. And yeah, and let's say before the pandemic, I was like, when's the other shoe going to drop? And then the pandemic happened, then the strikes, you know, now everyone's fucking, there's just no end. It's, it all makes it feel like, wow, all my worst fears could happen at any time, yeah. You know? So, yeah.
What do you think happens when you die? Do you think there's an afterlife of any kind?
That's a tough one. That's a tough one. I do love the idea of like reincarnation or some sort of energy exchange. Like your energy doesn't just disappear. It goes into like a plant or a tree, you know, or something like that. And, you know, when my grandfather died when I was little, I would hold this little lion, ceramic lion that he had, and talk to him at night. You know, so I don't know. I do believe like when people I know have died, I will talk to them a little bit sometimes.
Yeah.
Bet you weren't expecting this answer.
No, I want that sort of answer.
Yeah. And then I just do. I feel nature makes everything make sense. So when someone dies, there's like there's some feeling for me that they still exist in nature or something.
Do you still have the ceramic lion?
I do. You want to see it?
Yeah, I want to see your granddad.
I'd have to go get it.
No, you don't have to get it. But do you still think your granddad's in it?
I don't really think he's in it. I'm not like, knock, knock. I'm not rubbing it three times.
You're awake. Sorry to disturb you. You're awake.
hello. Tap, tap. No. Like, oh, I don't.
What now, Chelsea? I'm trying to nap.
I don't really still like hold it and talk to my grandfather. That'd be funny if I maintained that for so many decades. I think it helped me, you know, when I was a kid right after he died. But no, I do like having things from my grandparents in my house and remembering them.
I do, as much as I joke about it, I do also think I totally buy it. As in you talking to people, when you talk to the dead, do you visualize, like, how do you visualize it? That they're listening, that they're in the room, that they come visit, like, or is it?
Not really. I kind of do. I kind of, it's like, I kind of know that they're not necessarily a sentient being or something, but I just kind of think maybe they can feel it or hear it if you talk to them.
Well, I got news for you, Chelsea.
They don't.
No, there is a heaven. They're listening. Oh. Yeah. They're listening.
Wow.
They're engaged in. Sometimes your granddad is in the line. Sometimes he pops in just to have a chat.
How do you know?
Because I run this. I run this place.
You run heaven.
I'm sort of in charge of admin and whatnot and admissions. And anyway,
you're obsessed with admin.
You are welcome. it's hard to escape. And you are welcome in heaven. Welcome. They're delighted to see you. It's filled with your favorite thing. What's your favorite thing?
Carbonara.
It's absolutely wall-to-wall carbonara. It is a sea of carbonara. It's pretty gross. You're sat in carbonara. There's carbonara, far as the eye can see.
Princess cake and carbonara. Ice cream sundaes, hot fudge sundaes, caramel apples with almond, roasted almond.
This is heaven.
And, yeah.
Anything else? One more thing.
Do you like eating? You seem like you probably don't.
It's not my number one. Thing.
Exactly. I knew it. I tell you, I think I'm good at reading people. I knew you think about death and I knew you're probably not into food that much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's too many other things to be into. Well, anyway, you're welcome in heaven. Carbonara, princess cakes, ice cream sundaes, candy apples. It's got it all. It's also got everyone you love in it and they're very excited to see you. Everyone's a huge fan, but they want to talk about your life through the medium of film. And the first thing they ask you is, what is the first film you remember seeing, Chelsea Peretti?
Okay, now this is really weird, okay? I often feel this way. I don't remember my childhood. Like, I want to say, like, the first movies I remember watching probably is, like, in high school with my high school friends, like Adam Sandler movies.
Right.
Waterboy. You know, you got your Waterboy, you got your Happy Gilmore. So it's weird. Like, I hate 80s movies, like all the ones that all these people just like love. In general, I don't really love them. Actually, you know what I would say now that I think about it? Probably the first movies that I remember seeing, I don't know if it's the first movie, Cocoon had a huge impression on me.
Love Cocoon. Tell me. No one has mentioned Cocoon on this podcast ever. We've done hundreds of episodes.
Of course not. Of course not.
About time Cocoon came out.
I mean,
about
it was
fucking
just
time.
Thank you. It was just an inspiring concept.
Yeah.
You know? So Cocoon, I think of big, you know, like conceptual as well. And also about aging. Two movies about aging. I mean, I guess as a kid, I was already worried about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And ultimately, I was right to worry. Okay.
Your instincts were right.
Yeah, my instincts were right. So Cocoon and, okay, Pee-wee's Big Adventure. I don't know what year that came out, but that's another early one that I remember. That's it.
Thank you. Thank you for coming. What is the film that scared you the most? Do you like being scared?
I don't like being scared. Yeah. So what's interesting is recently everyone said Exorcist was so scary, and I watched it like a year or two ago, and I was like, not really scared. And I think it's because like I wasn't raised with Catholic iconography. Like, I think that's why it's so scary for people. 28 Days Later, I really loved, and that's, I didn't find that scary, which Jordan thinks is weird, but I didn't think it was that scary. It was more like intellectually like stimulating. But let me see, what did I write down? You know, recently, there's a lot of movies I walked out of. So recently, Zach Cregger's movie, what is it called? I always forget. He did a horror movie with this.
Oh, the Office film. No? Sorry. Fuck. It's called with the Airbnb. And yeah, it's brilliant. What's it fucking called?
He showed us an early cut of it, and I had to leave at a certain point. And I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
But I was like, I don't want to be this scared. And also, like, Airbnbs just feels a little too, like, I don't like scary movies where it's like something I could be in. Like an Airbnb I could be in, or like someone hunting someone in their house. I'm like, I don't want to see those kinds of things. I walked out of Fight Club when that came out because I couldn't take the violence. That's I also funny. Walked out of Heat with this, like, someone got shot in their head in the very beginning of Heat. So yeah, I don't think I had a movie that scared me.
Barbarian. It's called Barbarian.
Barbarian. Thank you. Yes. I mean, I can't believe I just couldn't remember the name, but it was good. And then once they started going down into that basement, I was like, you know what? I might not be able to do this. I was like, it's great.
So you don't like seeing people be hurt either? I get that.
No, I don't. I don't like people being hunted. I don't like people being hurt.
Yeah, I understand that. May I ask you, you're married to a man who seems to very much love horror. Is it something where you go? Where you go? Like, I'm not going to watch anything you make.
Well, first of all, his are more in the vein of 28 Days Later for me, where they're more intellectually stimulating, and that helps me with the fear. But when I met him, I mean, it was Key and Peele. He was like Key and Peele. I was on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I'm like, cool. Now I'm married to like a horror auteur. It's like a very different thing.
I love that you'd be giving him notes going, make it less scary. It's too scary.
Yeah. That's still reading scary. Let's trim that out. No.
This isn't working for me. This is making me want to leave. So you need to trim this out.
Yeah, no, but it's hard because I'm like, I literally don't like horror movies, but I do like kids.
What about crying? What's the film that made you cry the most? Are you a crier?
Oh, yeah. So, okay, the funniest answer to that is Short Circuit 2. I thought the little robot guy was dead, and then he busts out of the back of that truck, and I was like, That made me cry. Oh, you know what else? You know what might be one of the earliest movies now that I think about it? Probably E.T., because I cried in like crazy. And also Neverending Story, when that horse or unicorn like sunk into a bog or something. Yeah. That was a nightmare. So those were earlier. Bent. Have you seen this film? Bent, I think it's called Bent.
The guy's in prison?
It's a Holocaust movie. I think it's called Bent. It's a gay love story. Me and my brother were in New Orleans and happened to go see it. And I honestly felt like it was like being beaten with a crowbar seeing this movie. It was the saddest movie I've ever seen. And it was this kind of movie where we just walked around for hours afterwards, just absolutely melancholic. Mm. So that was really one kind of cry. Short Circuit 2 was a very different kind of cry. I also cried at Glitter, Mariah Carey's movie, where there was something like her mom was homeless. And also The Notebook. I wept heartily. Yeah.
I like that you're supporting Glitter. It deserves
Thank
it.
You. Thank
you. The awful tragedy of Glitter. Well, no, I was about to say it. I realize the way I've set this up is problematic. Is that Glitter came out like a day after 9/11.
And it became
on late night talk shows, the only joke was Glitter because there was nothing else to joke about. So for like that film was like battered and battered because they couldn't make any other jokes. So I always felt sorry for Glitter because good or bad, it was sort of used as, we got to joke about something and it'll have to be Glitter. You know what I mean?
Well, honestly, it is crazy that how much timing matters for whatever you make. And with movies, there's like all this lead time. And I mean, just timing for art makes all the difference in the world. And that is crazy. I bet Mariah Carey was so bummed about that. Also, speaking of 9/11, I was also going to say a movie that I saw after 9/11 was Zoolander. And I saw it in the theaters. And I was, you know, I had been in New York on 9/11 and went to go see that movie. And I mean, I thought it was so funny. And I think in part because I needed to laugh so bad.
Yeah.
9/11. We're just talking about 9/11. You're like, do you want to come do my podcast and kind of meet on 9/11 through Zoolander and Glitter?
And Glitter.
Doesn't seem advisable, but yes. Yeah.
Maureen, what's this I hear about you going to film school? I am. I want to gain valuable skills while making films and developing my creativity. So I'm attending the New York Film Academy. I'm thinking about becoming one of them people that writes the numbers on the title board. NYFA is a very respected film school. I hear they offer a variety of options to meet your educational goals, whether you want a BFA or MFA degree, or want to learn at a quicker pace with a short-term program. That's right! They've got workshops and summer camps in filmmaking, acting, cinematography, screenwriting, producing, game design, musical theatre, and more. Are you attending in New York? Might do. They have multiple campuses in some amazing locations like New York, LA, Miami, Italy, Australia, and online. And you can learn more about the New York Film Academy at nyfa.edu. That's nyfa.edu. Thanks, Maureen.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Hello, my neighbor Maureen. What's this I hear about you getting a promotion at the office? Didn't you just get promoted last month? It's all thanks to Canva. I've been nailing every meeting with AI-powered Canva presentations. Isn't that Canva's AI slide generator where you just describe your presentation in a few words and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides in seconds? That's right. And to top it off, I use Magic Write, Canva's AI text generator, to perfect my points. Sounds brilliant, Maureen. No more copying and pasting from other programs. No more app switching. Can Canva Docs with Magic Write generate any text you want for work? Yes. Sales proposals, marketing plans, yeah. Meeting agendas, ratings of all 12 Muppet movies using the extensive point system that I developed at age 12. Anyone can save time with Canva's AI-powered tools. Generate your draft fast with Canva Docs at canva.com, designed for work. Oh, thanks, my neighbor Maureen. Yeah, thank you.
What is the film that you love? It is not critically acclaimed. Most people do not enjoy this film, but you love it unconditionally.
Well, it's interesting. I feel like there's a better answer, but I did love Walter Mitty.
Yeah, I love that film. So wildly underrated and lost. It was great.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I thought it was cool because it inspired you to live life to its fullest. And like, how many movies do that? Like, I don't know. I just thought it was cool. And I don't know. It was just funny because I walked out of there like, you got to live your life. And then like everyone around me was like not into the movie at all. So it was just like a real like shock to my system. because I was walking out all full of joy and optimism and looking around, people were like, yeah.
It's beautiful, that film. I really didn't get. It was one of them films I saw early, like the day it came out, and I was like, this is going to be a hit. Everyone's going to love this film. And then
that's how I felt.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah. What? And then another one, my friend, John Francis Daly, he directed, well, we were talking about comedies and he was saying he doesn't really do comedies that much anymore because they get so fucking skewered when you, you know, critically and stuff. And he did a Vacation remake and he said it was like, you know, and it got shat on and all this stuff. So then I went to go watch it. Me and Jordan watched it and we were cracking up. It's actually really funny.
You need to tell that guy, I would say a very large amount of times that film has come up on this podcast and people saying it's
really
the funniest film.
Oh, that's interesting.
Often in their answer to the funniest film. Yeah, people are like, it's so funny.
That's so funny. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I mean, I was cracking up. There was a lot of great jokes that and really funny performances. So that's interesting. I didn't know because I haven't had anyone mention it to me, but that's interesting that it's come up.
People love it. What about the other side of this? A film that you used to love. You loved it, but you've watched it recently and you've gone, oh no, I don't like this.
You know, Before Sunrise, I loved it. Like, I think I was, I don't know what year it came out, but I was probably like college-y, like just experiencing love, you know? So it's probably right up my alley. Like watching it now, I was like, like a jaded older woman. I'm like, this is like some college kid bullshit or something. Also Bottle Rocket, I loved. And then that I didn't feel like held up as well. I just showed my kid Austin Powers and I don't know. I remembered it being so hilarious.
Yeah.
There's some good bits in it, but I was feeling it was overall more just like, you know, big production, lots of, you know, but the hardcore bits, but also maybe I'm just so used to those bits that I don't know. My son was cracking up at like the shh, shh. You know, I forget the joke. There was a whole, he keeps reminding me what the thing is, but.
That's great.
Yes. Yeah, so, but, those are my don't hold ups. Interestingly, the opposite of is true. I don't know if you ever talk about this on here, but I hated Planes, Trains, and Automobiles when I was younger. I think I was too young for it. And then I watched that a few years back and I was like, this is so good. I loved it.
That is an excellent question that I'm going to have to use one day. So thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
What is the film that means the most to you? Not necessarily the film itself is any good, but the experience you had seeing it always makes it special.
Well, you set it up a little different than I thought you were going to. But there's two that come to mind. One, when I was, I think, like about 13, Kids came out and it was rated R, I believe. And so me and my friends snuck into it. So that was an exciting experience, you know? And the line that...
Did you like it?
I think I did. I mean, there was that guy, Telly, that character. He's like, oh, I'm going to fuck Darcy, yo. Watermelon juice all dripping down her mouth and shit. That's the line that stuck with me. But I mean, I think it was a... That would be an interesting one to rewatch, especially as a parent. But yeah, I think it was exciting. And it was like, I don't know. I think when you're a teenager, you want like things that tell it more like it is instead of trying to sugarcoat it. So I think that was exciting. Also, The Perfect Guy, which is a Michael Ealy horror movie where he's the villain. Interesting for someone who's such a heartthrob. You know, I went with a huge group of comedians to that movie. And so people were just being hilarious. So I laughed so hard. Like, that's one of my favorite movie memories, was going with a huge group to the Arclight, now RIP, and just cracking jokes loudly throughout the entire movie and crying laughing. It was a great time.
What is the film you most relate to, Chelsea Peretti?
Well, I don't know if I would say of all time, but the movies that came to mind with that question were, I remember seeing LA Story and going, oh, like Sarah Jessica Parker, like she kind of like, I felt like I was kind of like her or something. No, she was like kind of a valley girl, but like, I guess I just kind of felt like she looked like me a little bit. And there's a lot of funny jokes in that movie. So I think I liked that. Being John Malkovich.
That's in my top 10 LA Story. I love that film so hard. That holds up.
And also, like, did he ever do it again? Like, write and did he? He didn't direct it.
He didn't direct LA it. He wrote Story. It. He also made a film that I really love called Shop Girl that he wrote.
Oh, yeah.
That is
Also, is that one funny? Underrated.
It's not so funny. It's almost like the opposite of LA Story.
And now stars a dead person, right? Stars a dead person. Didn't she die in a car crash?
Who? Claire Danes? She's all right, isn't she?
Oh, I thought it was Anne Hesch in that movie.
She's
in some other one with him?
No, he just dated her, I believe.
I thought they met on a movie.
Hmm. Maybe.
And, okay, being John Malkovich, I related to the Catherine Keener character. I was like, ooh, this is like, I think when I saw that question, movies you most related to, I thought about characters that I related to. So Catherine Keener and being John Malkovich. I think Bridesmaids, I just felt like it was all these funny women. And I honestly had never seen Melissa McCarthy before that movie. So I was like, who is this person? Because she just like blew my mind in that movie. And I felt like it had such hard laughs and it was all women, which like, you know, as a teenager, I was seeing Adam Sandler movies with all my like friends who were largely guys and seeing movies that were largely guys. So like Bridesmaids was like revelatory for me. And then Me, You and Everyone We Know, Miranda July's movie, I did think was like cool in that it was so sort of smart and funny and weird. And I think I really related to her tone.
Excellent answers.
Oh my gosh. Also, I forgot to say that Beau Is Afraid.
Yeah.
That was a movie I really related to. I actually haven't finished it because it was so intense that I needed a break. And I was like, I'll finish this other part of it later. And I haven't yet. But I actually was trying to write a stand-up special that was very much like that movie.
Wow.
At one point, like a kind of an anxiety dream, heightened reality, anxiety dream, where it was like a stand-up special that never had any stand-up in it because it got derailed instantly. But I never wound up doing it.
What, as in... You don't get to the venue type thing.
No, I'm on the stage, but then something happens and I have to deal with it. And then it just leads to a million other things happening. But it was very much in very tonally felt like how Beau Is Afraid felt.
Yeah.
In my mind.
I think that film's amazing. That was a film that I was like, this is amazing. And where is it? Why didn't everyone go nuts for it?
Well, it is intense as fuck. It reminded me of Lost. Did you ever watch Lost?
Yeah. I was still
so remember when they were like torturing people with like all these images and sounds in that? I don't know if you remember, but that's kind of how Beau Is Afraid felt. I mean, it was just like so intense. It felt like crazy, like getting like 5 lobotomies at once or something.
Yeah. The next question is the one that everyone really only cares about.
What's the sexiest film you've ever seen, Chelsea Peretti?
I think Out of Sight.
Yes.
With Jennifer Lopez.
Yes. Correct.
Was very, very sexy. Does that come up a lot or not?
Not as much as it should, because that is a very, very good answer.
Yeah. You know what's funny also? Skyfall was pretty, not necessarily sexy, but I just remember watching that movie and I'm like, everything looks so cool. This is so cool. and then I think you said like, what's the one you shouldn't have thought was sexy? And
yes.
I recently had a meeting and we were talking about a history of violence. And I was like, doesn't that have like a stairwell scene? I couldn't remember anything, but there was a scene on a stairwell. And he was like, yes, that's a controversial scene. But I feel like I think that scene stuck in my head in perhaps a sexy way. But I can't remember the scene, so I don't want to stand by it fully.
Well, I think if I remember, he has sex with his wife on the stairs, but it's possibly
non-consensual
or borderline
big R.
Confusing.
Let me retract that then. Let me retract it. But I do feel like I can't remember. I have to see it again. I'll take it back.
Okay.
But definitely Out of Sight.
But what is your worrying why don't? I mean, that was a perfect worrying why don't.
Well, I guess I just don't remember the scene at all. So feeling like you have amnesia and then referencing something that might be like hotly controversial. But yeah.
Okay. Chelsea Peretti. What's the objectively the greatest film of all time? Might not be your favorite.
Okay. So this for me, this is the hardest one for me because I really don't believe in bests, like best ever. You know, like my joke answer would be The Godfather because I feel like men are so into bests and they're so into The Godfather. So that would be my joke answer.
Is this why you named your special that?
Yeah, one of the greats. Yeah, like that energy of like believing you're the best and believing things are the best in the category and blah, blah, blah. So I think the most honest answer that I could say is Holy Grail, because it's had staying power for me. It's the jokes have held up for me. I think it's such a hard thing to pull off. You know, yeah. I read about it a little bit more recently and like it sounded like they had a super low budget. It rained every day while they were trying to shoot. Like, it just seems like to me, like a perfect timing of this group at like their peak against all odds, making something that's so silly and has so many memorable performances and jokes in it. But again, movies are so different. How do you compare Short Circuit 2 to Holy Grail? You
know? I mean, hard to say which is greater, but
yeah.
But I think that's a very thoughtful answer.
Is your best movie?
Me? What do I think?
Yeah, do you have the same one every episode?
But it annoys me. You're right. A lot of people say The Godfather and it always annoys me. So I'm delighted that you haven't said that.
But what's yours?
Objectively, the greatest, not my favorite, but the greatest. I go like, this is the best of cinema, I think, is Don't Look Now. It's a scary film with Julie Christie and Donald Sutherland.
Okay. I've never seen that. So when was that made?
70s, late 70s.
Maybe I would like that.
Beauty.
I think you would like
it. It's more, I would be lying if I said it wasn't a bit scary. It's a bit scary, but it's about stuff and it's deep and it's sexy. And also Out of Sight steals from it, homages it.
Really?
The way the sex scene is and the way they're playing with time. Don't Now does all of that.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think you might actually like it. You might like it.
Sexy response. All right. Well, I would look at that, I guess. I could try it. What is it called again?
Don't Look Now.
Don't Look Now. So you say that on every podcast?
No, I don't answer. It's not about me. This is about you, Chelsea.
This really is like therapy.
What is the film that you could or have watched the most over and over again?
I mean, I think ironically, it could be Groundhog Day.
Great.
Also, Holy Grail.
Great.
I don't like watching movies over and over. So those are the two that I could probably say I have watched repeatedly.
Now, we don't like to be too negative, so let's not dwell on it. But what's the worst film you've ever seen?
So, well, I wrote down Bent. Because it was the worst in the sense of I don't think I've ever felt so bad after seeing a film. But it was well made.
Yeah, that's great.
Another one is Schenectady. Okay,
love
now this
that.
Movie, I'm sure you did. I could tell I that you probably it. Would. Now, here's the thing. I went to see it in New York, walked out of it, couldn't handle it. Then later, I'm like, you know what? This movie feels like it would be something I would love. Let me try it again. Tried it again. At first, I'm like, I love this. I love it. And then very quickly, it turned a corner where I'm like, I am not this depressed. And I also don't know what's going on.
That's the closest to Beau Is Afraid. Of all the things that Beau Is Afraid is like, it's like...
Beau Is Afraid is a more accessible version.
Yeah.
That has a bit more humor to it, I think. And a little more...
So.
I don't know. But yeah, they're in the same wheelhouse, but... Also, you know what? This is another controversial one, but like The Lobster was like that for me. Like I was like tonally, like at first I'm like, oh, this is going to be so up my alley. And then as it went along, I was like, I don't know. I just remember feeling it feels so unrelentingly dark. And
yeah,
I don't know. I wanted more comedic relief in it, you know?
Speaking of which, what's the film that made you laugh the most? Might not even be the funniest film, but you laughed. Is it
okay,
The Perfect Guy?
So, I mean, yeah, The Perfect Guy, I truly did laugh so much, but it's sort of external why. Bridesmaids, 100%. Like, when I think about what comedies have made me laugh out loud in my life, that is up there. And more recently, I had never seen Dirty Rotten Scoundrels and watched that. And yeah, that was a lot of giggles. A lot of giggles. There was a lot of, I mean, I do like Steve Martin movies.
Me too.
The Jerk is a funny one because my family, we watched it and we're like, this is awful when I was younger, you know? And then we were like, kept talking about it and kept referencing all the jokes. And then we're like, wait, maybe this is really good and funny. And then we watched it again. We loved it. But it was like, somehow our first reaction was like, we didn't like it.
Yeah.
Maureen, what's this I hear about you going to film school?
I am. I want to gain valuable skills while making films and developing my creativity. So I'm attending the New York Film Academy. I'm thinking about becoming one of them people that writes the numbers on the title board.
NYFA is a very respected film school. I hear they offer a variety of options to meet your educational goals, whether you want a BFA or MFA degree, or want to learn at a quicker pace with a short-term program.
That's right. They've got workshops and summer camps in filmmaking, acting, cinematography, screenwriting, producing, game design, musical theatre, and more. Are you attending in New York? Might do. They have multiple campuses in some amazing locations like New York, LA, Miami, Italy, Australia, and online.
And you can learn more about the New York Film Academy at nyfa.edu. That's nyfa.edu. Thanks, Maureen.
Hello, my neighbour Maureen. What's this I hear about you getting a promotion at the office? Didn't you just get promoted last month?
It's all thanks to Canva. I've been nailing every meeting with AI-powered Canva presentations.
Isn't that Canva's AI slide generator where you just describe your presentation in a few words and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides in seconds?
That's right. And to top it off, I use Magic Write, Canva's AI text generator, to perfect my points.
Sounds brilliant, Maureen. No more copying and pasting from other programs. No more app switching.
Can Canva Docs with Magic Write generate any text you want for work?
Yes.
Sales proposals, marketing plans?
Yeah.
Meeting agendas, ratings of all 12 Muppet movies using the extensive point system that I developed at age 12?
Anyone can save time with Canva's AI-powered tools.
Generate your draft fast with Canva Docs at canva.com, designed for work.
Oh, thanks, my neighbour Maureen. Yeah, thank you.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Chelsea, you have been an absolute delight. However, when you were training this morning, and you know what you're like, they say, listen, can you lift 300 pounds? And you said, 300, I can lift 400. Put another 100 on.
I literally spit in my trainer's face. Yeah. 300?
You said, get fucked, put another 2. You said, you know what, double it. And you said, 600.
Double it.
And then everyone gathered around.
Double it again. Yeah.
So then 12, it was 12,000. 12,000 kilograms. Pounds. And you come and you hold it and everyone gathers around and your trainer's like, honestly, I have to say, I think this is a bad idea. And you go, fuck you, and you spit in his face again. And he says, please stop spitting at me.
Her face. I go, fuck yourself. And then I spit in her face.
Yeah, you spit in her face again. And then she goes, I don't know if this is, are we insured for this? I don't know. Anyway, you go, shut up, everyone, and watch me lift. And you reach down to your 12,000 pounds and you pull up hard and your both arms rip out of their sockets. And blood gushes out,
gushing.
Everyone screams, ah! Everyone screams like Macaulay Culkin, ah! And you go, ah! Like you achieved it. You think you've achieved it. And they go, no, look. And down on the floor.
I'm running, I'm doing a victory lap around the room. I think I'm holding one finger in the air, you know, like a victory sign. But I have a phantom arm.
And all you're doing is spraying blood over everyone. Like,
all the equipment.
And you just start, you get the circle of victory you're doing gets smaller and smaller and slower as you start to bleed out. And you're going, you're like a sort of machinery slowing down. Yeah, I'm the best, I'm one of the greatest. And you fall down dead. And I've heard all this commotion. I'm walking around, I've got a coffin on me, you know what I'm like. And I'm like, has anyone seen Chelsea Peretti? And they go, I've seen her. We're all fucking absolutely covered in her blood.
Right.
She's insane.
Seen her. I had to put wellies on to get to the treadmill. Wellies.
So, she's so English. So I come in, and I'm like, oh, help me, guys. So we start getting all the bits of you into the coffin. It's fucking, I'm having to scrape bits of you off the wall, all your tendons, all your fucking blood everywhere, like guts, everything. Anyway, stuff you in the coffin. There's more of you than I was expecting. The coffin is full. And basically, there's no room.
You know who you should
get
to help is get that agent's son who killed his wife and her parents and dumped her in a dumpster in a strip mall.
Who's this?
I forget his name, but I bet he could help.
Okay, well, I call him up and he helps. And we stuff you in the coffin. There's no room in this coffin. There's only enough room to slip one DVD into the side for you to take across to the other side. And on the other side, it's movie night every night. What film are you taking to show the people of Carbonara Heaven when it's your movie night, Chelsea Peretti? Go.
The Godfather. But ironically, you know, I want to leave him on a laugh.
You're watching it like Mystery Science Theater, just shouting stuff out. Everyone's going, shut up. This is the greatest film ever made.
No, listen, I'm sure it's a great film, and I just want people to respect me, you know?
Yeah, yeah, I get it.
What's the other really respectable, pretentious best film? Actually, I just did watch one that I really did like. It was like an old French film about a schoolboy.
400 Blows?
Yes, I'll do that just for respect.
Okay, really nice. Chelsea... Chelsea, thank you for doing this. You've been wonderful. Is there anything you would like to tell people to look for, listen to?
Actually, can I change it one more time? Can I be buried with spliced together the beginning of 400 Blows and the ending of Short Circuit 2?
So you've like pirated these DVDs. And you've, so instead of the classic freeze frame ending of 400 Blows, we instead have number 5 is alive bursting out the back of a van and everyone cries. I love it.
And it's all about time and progress.
Yeah,
and it's a commentary.
Beautiful.
It's like an art piece. Yeah.
That's beautiful. Okay. All right. That's beautiful. Is there anything you would like to tell people to look for? When is your film coming?
Oh, listen to my podcast. I've just relaunched my podcast in which I take calls from people. I had a British caller the other day told me an absolutely appalling story about a medical disaster for an 18-month-old baby. I was like,
Jesus.
What are we doing? Anyhow, Brits are still welcome. And I take calls and we talk about different topics. Food is a big topic. So that will be a no for you,
this.
Brett.
I love this.
Also bear attacks, which is a longstanding obsession, but a variety of other things. We have a lot of fun. There's a lot of sound effects that get played. I hang up on people to keep the show moving, but not out of hate. And we get into some deep conversations sometimes.
I love it. I love
it. Thank you.
And do we know when your film's coming out?
We do, but I don't know if it's announced. So yeah, that's about it. Listen to my podcast and watch that movie when it comes out. Hopefully you like it, you know?
It's the opposite of shots and plots, but what it is bits and rhymes.
Bits and bobs.
Chelsea, what a pleasure. Thank you for doing this.
Seriously, thank you. This is really fun.
Have a wonderful day.
I was like,
you're still circling
anyway,
the gym.
Oh, you know what else was really good?
Oh, yeah, go on.
MacGruber.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Incredible. That is up there. That's up there. Also, I forgot the other one. Two more came to me in a flash. I know I'm going to wake up throughout the night thinking of movies and gasping into the night air.
People are always cool 4 days later. Wait, I didn't say The Godfather. It's okay. Someone else has said it.
It's like, don't worry. It's been covered. All right. Well, thank you.
All right. Thank you. Have a good day. Good day to you.
Okay.
Goodbye. So that was episode 280. Head over to the Patreon at patreon.com/Brett Goldstein for the extra 20 minutes of chat, secrets and video with Chelsea Peretti. Go to Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star rating, but don't write about the show. Write about the film that means the most to you and why. My neighbour Maureen reads it and it always makes her cry. Thank you so much to everyone for listening. I really hope you have a wonderful new year. I hope you enjoyed your holidays. Thank you to Chelsea for giving me so much time.
Thank you to Scroobius Pip and the Distraction Pieces Network. Thanks to the amazing producer Buddy Peace for producing it and for the brilliant Christmas mix. Thanks to iHeartMedia and Will Ferrell's Big Money Players Network for hosting it. Thanks to Adam Richardson for the graphics and Lisa Lydon for the photography. Come and join me next week. Oh, it's another cracking guest. You're going to love it. Thank you all for listening. Hope you're all well. That is it for now. And in the meantime, have a lovely year. And please, always be excellent to each other. Sometimes I dream of becoming an actor. Have you ever dreamt of becoming an actor? Maureen, what is it you think I do for a living? Never mind, sounds like you need the New York Film Academy. NYFA offers workshops, BFA and MFA degrees and summer camps in filmmaking, acting, journalism and more, online and on campuses across the globe. To make films alongside industry professionals, explore more at nyfa.edu. Thanks, Brett. Thank you, Maureen.
Maureen, your Canva presentation looks brilliant. Thanks, Brett. That's because I used AI-powered Canva presentations. I just described what I wanted, and Canva presentations generated the perfect slides. You can even make a talking presentation for people to watch on their own time. Check this out. Recording. 101 Reasons Why Beaches is the Saddest Film Ever Made by your neighbour Maureen. Is it easy to use? If you can use a computer, you can nail your next work presentation with Canva Presentations at canva.com. Designed for work. Oh, thanks, my name is Maureen. Yeah, thank you.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without finger sticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.